We're doing a book sermon series on the book of Joel. Three chapters, a very short book, very interesting book. Most people do not know who is Joel, except that we know that he's the son of Petuel, if I pronounce that correctly. That's in verse 1. He's the son of Petuel, and we can't even place a historical a time frame for it. Some people say, oh, it's during the time of Judah, or some people say it's written after the exile, where the people came back from Babylonian exile. So no one knows the exact date, because the prophet Joel, when he wrote this book, he referred a lot of passages from the Old Testament, from different prophets and so on. So no one is quite sure the dating of this the book. But we know it's a very important book. Even the Apostle Peter, in the book of Acts, quoted a passage from the book of from Joel about, in the last day, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. So it's a very interesting book, and I just want to encourage you, just only three chapters, read it, and just ask God, what are you telling us? What are you speaking to me personally, to the church, and even for the nation of Singapore? So, just a quick a framework of the book of Joel. Three chapters. So we have the first section is on the desolation of the land. Yeah, I know it sounds very melancholic, right? To introduce a sermon series on something on this, desolation. And then the next one, another more depressing. Call to mourn and fast. Okay, and it improves, okay? It'll get better. This next chapter, the day of the Lord. Oh, a bit more, slightly better. The next one, call to repentance. Oh. But later on, there's a promise, hallelujah, promise of deliverance and restoration. And the last chapter is a promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned, this was the verse that was quoted by the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts. And the last chapter is on judgment of the nations. But the last one, eternal blessings to God's people. So just three short chapters for us to think about and to reflect, especially during this season. So it begins with bad news. The first chapter is all about bad news. What is bad news to you guys? For me, as I turned 40, the bad news is a medical report. Recently, I tried to apply for insurance, and they rejected me, you know, because my BMI was too high. So I was really upset. That was bad news for me. Yeah. Or what are the bad news to you? So for me, it's this. No Wi-Fi, no internet. It's really bad news. So I just Google, what are bad news that affects young people or the modern generation? So these are some examples, okay? I'm not sure whether it relates to you. Getting included in a WhatsApp group without your permission. Is that bad news? Okay, answering a call from an unknown number. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you are an introvert like me, we don't like to talk on the phone. We rather text. But then, please, you can still call me. No problem. Just don't call me on Mondays, all right? For us church workers, Mondays is our day off. The joke is, you can call me if only someone died or the church is on fire, okay? But that's just a joke. Please call me anytime. Don't worry, you can text me. And another one, accidentally hitting reply all on a response only meant for one person. Is that bad news? Oh, yeah. Oh no. But thankfully, WhatsApp, you can delete the send message, right? And the next one, leaving their phone somewhere other than where they are at that moment. Losing your phone, that's really bad news. Another one, the horror of a dead battery on your phone. Really bad news. And this one is quite, I'm not sure whether it really relates to you guys. Liking a six-month-old Instagram photo. Oh, somehow it resonates with you guys. But usually I would like a six-month-old photo too. Is that creepy? Yeah. Okay. So, bad news. All right, and this one, relate to the job hunters. Getting a job to get experience when every job requires experience before they hire you. Really bad news, isn't it? But my point to you guys as we read the book of Joel is bad news is good news. Whoa, mind blown. Bad news is good news. To us, for us, just now Joel sang that, let us into that new song about us being children of God. Often it is very tough for us to receive bad news. Maybe news of judgment, news of suffering is really tough for us. But I want to encourage you and to change your perspective that bad news could be good news. I know it's hard to understand. And I want to also tell you, bad news is never random. Often we think that, why do you allow suffering, God? Why is there bad news and so on, news of judgment and so on? It seems very random, especially if you have notification on the phone. Like recently, on my notification, good news, North and South Korea is improving ties. The other bad news, DJ Avicii, is that how I pronounce it? He passed away in Oman at the age of 28. A bad news, right? But we have a God. We don't have a random God. God who just spouse, you know, who judges and inflicts suffering at his whim and fancy. Our God is a sovereign God. And we have that. We need to believe that God loves us dearly. And we can call him Father. So we don't have a God who is very random, who just wants to judge us randomly and so on. So the bad news from God sometimes is an opportunity for us to return back to him, to grow in intimacy with him, and to even cultivate our character. I mentioned this. I had a discussion with Crystal here. I asked her, so because the sermon theme is bad news, God's bad news is good news. She said it doesn't sound very, it might be misunderstood. So she helped me. So this is what she proposed. So I want to thank her for that. It was at 12 midnight. Thank you for answering my message at 12 midnight. Bad news from God, it is for our own good. Very simple. Bad news from God, it is for our own good. So as Christians, as God's children, are you able to receive bad news? And bad news in a way is like it's a wake-up call for us. Like the recent rejection of my insurance, oh, it's a wake-up call. That's why I have to lose weight and so on, try to be healthier and so on. Just to share a bit, like my brother, a few years ago, he received a very bad news. He lost his life savings because he invested some money. And turns out the person who ran his investment was arrested for cheating. And he lost his entire life savings, which he spent more than 30 years building up. Bad news. And when he received that news, it almost destroyed him. He was in depression for a number of years. He thought of suicide and so on. He wasn't able to let go. But that bad news, but again, he even questioned God. God, why do you allow this to happen? It seems very random. But as he looks back, he shared with us, as he looks back, he looked back and what happened. The bad news turned to good news for him because it drew him closer to God. He realized all this possession, all this material possession cannot equal to the love and the guidance of God. So it saved him. The bad news saved him. It turned him around. He became closer to God. Yeah, and so on. So some of us here might be going through something as well. We're facing bad news. So what is our response? So let's turn to the book of Joel. Joel is somewhere, you can take out your phone if you want, but I'll be reading it from the ESV. So I'll be reading the entire first chapter. In the olden days, we didn't have Bibles, so it's just more of hearing. And from the Bible says, from the hearing comes faith. So let's just hear what Joel has to say for us, for the church, and even for the nation of Singapore. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Petuel. Hear this, you elders. Give ear, all inhabitants of the land. Has such a thing happened in your days or in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it and let your children tell their children and their children to another generation. What the cutting locusts left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the hopping locust has eaten. And what the hopping locust left, the destroying locust has eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the sweet wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land, powerful and beyond number. Its teeth are lion's teeth, and it has the fangs of a lioness. It has laid waste my vine and splintered my fig tree. It has stripped off their bark and thrown it down. Their branches are made white. Lament like a virgin wearing a sackcloth for the bridegroom of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn, the ministers of the Lord. The fields are destroyed, the ground mourns. Because the grain is destroyed, the wine dries up, the oil languishes. Be ashamed, all tillers of the soil. Wail, O vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine dries up, the fig trees languishes. Pomegranate, palm, and apple, all the trees of the field are dried up, and gladness dries up from the children of men. Verse 13, put on sackcloth and lament, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Go in, pass the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God. Because grain offering and drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God. And cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is near. As destruction from the Almighty, it comes. Is not the foot cut off before our eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed shrivels under the clods. The storehouses are desolate. The granaries are torn down because the grain has dried up. How the beasts groan. The herds of cattle are perplexed because there's no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep suffer. To you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the pasture of the wilderness, and flame has burned all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant for you, because the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Even though such, after you read it, how does it make you feel? Just imagine when the prophet Joel was pronouncing this to the people of Israel, that there will be great devastation, great judgment from God the Almighty himself. Do you tremble? You feel very uneasy, isn't it? It's a good response. If you feel indifferent, you need to examine yourself. But if you feel uneasy, if it breaks your heart, I think God is speaking to you. Even though this was spoken to the people of Israel more than 2,000 years ago, I feel that this word is for it's a very timely season for us as well. But perhaps it speaks to us individually, as a church, and even for the nation of Singapore. So when Joel says, "Hear this, elders, give ears," he's referring to the leaders, church leaders, maybe national leaders, and so on. And he also encouraged the people to tell your children of it, and let your children tell their to their children, and so on. So we are, as we hear, when we receive certain bad news, news of judgment, news of warning from God, we don't keep it to ourselves. God encourages us to proclaim it, to speak, to encourage people. You know, in church, church ministry, especially the preaching ministry, is not only about a feel-good ministry. It's not a motivational speaking or a self-help, self-motivational, whatever. Preaching of the word is primarily to prepare us to meet our Creator. So occasionally, at the pulpit, we will preach bad news. But our response is, we don't keep it to ourselves. We digest it, we reflect upon it. And I just want to also encourage you to even tell people about it. They may not like to hear it, but those are God's word. Like the mission team that are going to Cambodia. They're going to proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. But the gospel has bad news, a condition. If you choose to reject God, there is a consequence, and that is bad news. Of course, we like to say, oh, yes, we focus on the good news. Yes, that's very important. But there is a consequence if you reject the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, hear and tell. That's our response. And in verse 4, I'm using the King James Version because it's sort of, because in the new ESV version, it just mentioned locusts. But in the King James Version, it's very interesting. They sort of dissect the word locusts. And this is what it's written, that which the palmer worm have left, have the locusts eaten, and that which the locusts have left, have the caker worm eaten, and that which the caker worm have left, have the caterpillar eaten. It's really hard. I'm so glad I'm not living in those days of the King James. Yeah. So basically, an ESV version talks about cutting locusts. What the cutting locusts left, the swarming locust has eaten, and so on. So it's just devastation after devastation after devastation. The bad news is really, really horrendous news. And in verse 5, Joel tells us to awake. Wake up. The locusts are coming. When we think of locusts, you know, in the field of the cathedral, we have very nice, cute grasshoppers. And some of the children, they will collect and they will show it to me. Oh, look, a grasshopper. Wow, you know, you appear interested. Oh, cool. Okay. I'm sorry, if you have grown up and you have shown a grasshopper to me in the past and I appeared mildly interested, okay. Okay, but if you show me a locust, I say, whoa! Because a locust is huge. It's probably definitely like icon, 3-4 inches. It's huge. I would freak out if I see a locust. Yeah, oh, look, Uncle Harley, a locust. I would be terrified, okay? Yeah. And you know, swarms of locusts, it's a picture of devastation. And we think of it deeply. What is a locust to us? We are not living in agricultural, in a place of agriculture. What is a locust to us? What is the locust in your life? To some of us, it could be cancer, a broken relationship, rejection, money issues. And you feel that is locust after locust after locust after locust. And you feel so lost, feel so broken. Yeah. And Joel told the people of Israel, wake up, wake up. So sometimes when we receive bad news, it's really a wake-up call. Just share with you, like my brother, it was a wake-up call for him. He realized he had been clinging too much on his wealth, on his possession. But it brought him, the bad news led him to the good news of Jesus Christ. So when you receive that devastation from your locusts, do not turn away from God. Instead, run back to Him. Go back to God. Yeah, it's really a wake-up call for all of us. So, when you receive bad news after bad news, sometimes it hardens us and we become very embittered. I know of someone who suffers a lot. Yeah, he was my secondary school friend. He lost his father to cancer, and it embittered him so much. He blamed God, and for many years, he was very far from God. So this is a word for those who feel very hardened or embittered by the locusts in your life. If you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Return back to God. And this is Joel's call for all of us when we face devastation. Lament. Lament like a virgin wearing sackcloth for the bridegroom of her youth. Very poetic. So just imagine a virgin is probably a bride, and she's mourning for her bridegroom. Perhaps they are betrothed to be married, but maybe he passed on, he died. In Jewish tradition, if you are mourning for someone, for the dead, you wear sackcloth. Especially in our Chinese tradition, if you go to some Chinese funeral parlor, you see people wearing sackcloth. Yeah. So, lament. That sense of regret, anguish, losing your bridegroom. And in verse 13, put on a sackcloth and lament. O priests, wail. O ministers of the altar, go in the night in sackcloth. O ministers of my God. And Joel is also speaking to the church leaders, to the temple leaders at that time, to the religious leaders. It also speaks to us as well. All of you are children of God. You are Christians. In your own right, you are also leaders. Leaders because you have God's truth in you. And you can bring influence to the people around you, to your families, to your workplace, to your school, and so on. Would you lament as well for those who are suffering, to those who are loss, to those who are in agony? Would you lament? I like this quote. I do not know who wrote it, but it sort of echoes what it means to lament for God and with God. To lament is to taste the tears of God. You know, when Joel was received this vision, this word from the Lord, and it's bad news to the people of Israel. What can you just imagine how he felt? God, you want me to tell this to the people of Israel? It would have grieved him so much. It would have broken him. I'm sure he laments. And if you read the Old Testament, especially the prophets, they receive this mandate from God to tell bad news to the nations of Israel and Judah. And I can just imagine how it will have broken them. They would have just they would have lamented. As we lament, what does it mean to lament? It's to stand in the gap. It's to cry out to God, to intercede for your friends, for your colleagues, for your family members. Especially if you know that they are not right with God. Lament for them. And Joel called the people of Israel to say, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. And in verse 19, to you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and flame has burned all the trees of the field. So our response is to gather, to consecrate ourselves, to come together, to assemble, and to call out to God, to cry out to God. You know, on Sunday, we are very blessed to have a beautiful church where we can come, nice aircon and so on, good food later on, yeah? I can just imagine those Christians who live in countries where their faith is strongly persecuted by the government or by their communities. Just imagine coming to church. Perhaps they don't have a church building. They have to meet in a house. And they have to sing softly so that their neighbors will not report them to the authorities. Just imagine. But they continue to come together. They continue to hold a solemn assembly. And here we are. Every Sunday we come together, we assemble to worship God. We also come to pray, to intercede. But we have a very short amount of time to just pray, to lament. You know, this year, the Diocese of Singapore has dedicated this year to be a year of prayer. Next year will be a year of proclamation, where they're going to organize a major rally, yeah, to share the good news. That will be on the 17th to 19th May, 2019. Because it was inspired by the Billy Graham rally 40 years ago. Anyone went to the National Stadium? Okay, Peter went. Anyone else? Yeah, Mrs. Quack. Anyone else? I know a few people who were teenagers during that time. And they gave their life to Jesus at this national stadium 40 years ago when they heard Billy Graham make that invitation to come down. And they gave their life to Jesus. And now they are serving the Lord here with us. So, as we gear towards the year of proclamation in 2019, let 2018 be a year of prayer. Let us assemble together. Let us come together to pray. And there are many opportunities for us. Yep. Like Contenders, which happened on Friday, last Friday. They meet every alternate Friday. If you follow our Instagram, you will know the dates of our Contenders. Contenders is basically a gathering of young people coming, but it's open to anyone, any age group. Yeah, but it's a place for this generation to rise up, to pray, to contend, to wrestle with God, and to meet God face to face. And they meet at the West House. Last year, this was inspired by, last year we had this prayer conference called Burning Hearts in July. After the conference, I asked God, God, this is something exciting. I wish we can have like a prayer movement. But if it comes from us, from the church leaders, it won't be so organic. So I prayed. And I dialogue with Sandra. And Sandra, where is she? She's not here. Anyway, Sandra, she spoke to me and she wanted to start something as well. And then Crystal and Anne-Marie, and suddenly it became like a, wow, it came from your people. It did not come from the leaders, but it came from your people. Not, you know, like a top-down, but rather it's very organic. It was really exciting. That's why Contenders came about. And this logo or this picture was designed by Peter. Yeah, someone said it looks like an oil lamp. So when you pray, when you intercede, when you meet, you wrestle with God, it's sort of like you're burning for God, you know. Your hearts are burning. But I want to say this drawing has a lot of layers. You see how the many strokes. You know, once you pray, once you contend with God, God removes layer by layer by layer of your heart, of your being, of your character, and you, in a way, sort of able to have a heart-to-heart connection with God. As I shared this, what is your response? Are you longing for that intimacy with God? I just want to encourage you, if you can, come for Contenders. Look for Crystal, she's the one in the stripes, or Anne-Marie, yeah, for any of us, or go to the welcome desk, they'll be happy to tell you more about Contenders. And of course, Kenneth mentioned, this coming Friday, we have our church meeting. I just want to encourage you, if you have never been to a church prayer meeting, it will be here at 7:14, based on 2 Chronicles 7:14. So most people ask me, why is the church meetings, why does it start at 7:14 p.m.? Because it's based on 2 Chronicles 7:14, okay? Yeah. So come, consecrate yourself, and hear, talk to God, call out to God. I just want to show you this verse by Karl Barth. You know, when we pray, Karl Barth is a theologian. This is what he wrote. Take your Bible and take your newspaper and read both. But interpret newspapers from your Bible. As you pray, don't only pray with your eyes shut. See what's happening in the world. God is doing something. As I mentioned, bad news are not random. God is doing something. He's sovereign over all global events. What's happening in the Middle East, in the Korean Peninsula, in America, in Asia, in China, what's happening even in Singapore, Malaysia? God is sovereign. God is in control. And we need to pray about it. Like Julie just now, she mentioned praying for the Malaysian election. By the way, who are the Malaysians here? Can we just raise up? All right. God bless you. I was Indonesian. You know, I became a Singaporean, but so I'm in both worlds. The country that I come from was a very tough country. There was a lot of corruption. Election isn't as civilized as in Singapore. It's really nasty. Yeah, they pay thugs to antagonize you and so on. Yeah, the politics in my birth country of Indonesia is really, really, really bad. And I can empathize with our friends from Malaysia as they see what's happening. We need to also pray for Malaysia as well. And if you read the news, what's happening in Singapore? There's going to be a reshuffling of the Singapore cabinet. It will affect all of us, which minister and so on, the policies. We need to pray for our government as well. And so what is our response? I'm going to end soon. From the book of Joel, chapter 1, is we need to hear. Hear from God. What is God speaking to us through His Word, through His Spirit? And we need to tell. Tell our friends, even the bad news. And we need to wake up. Someone said the church is a sleeping giant. Because sometimes we have been so comfortable. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you know, and we become, in a way, lazy. I pray that we will wake up and receive that mandate from God to rise up, to pray, to intercede, to lament. And we need to consecrate and gather ourselves. So, friends, next year will be a very special year for Singapore. We'll be celebrating our bicentennial. It marks the founding of modern Singapore by Sir Stamford Raffles in 1819. That's more 200 years ago. And we should be thankful for Sir Stamford Raffles because he was the one who chose this plot of land for the building of St. Andrew's Cathedral. But back then it was St. Andrew's Church. Aren't you glad he didn't choose somewhere in the far regions of Singapore? You were like, I can't remember. I better not say anything in the event I might. Lim Chu Kang. Anyone listen to Lim Chu Kang? Oh, okay. Yeah. Aren't you glad he didn't choose Lim Chu Kang? Yeah. Thank God. Because I remember I shared this joke and I talk about Punggol and a lot of people live in Punggol. Oh, I think I've repeated myself. Okay. Okay, anyway. Yeah, so we should thank Sir Stamford Raffles. And he brought missionaries as well to share the gospel with the people in Singapore at that time. Yeah. And we thank God for the Church of England. They were the early missionaries for them to travel months to come to Singapore. We thank God for the mission team going to Cambodia. For them, it's a two-hour flight. Yeah. And they'll be back in a week's time. You'll see them. Yay. Yeah, but those missionaries back then, once they leave their homes, they're prepared not to return back home. And they do it for the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in response to today's sharing, I just want us to pray for Singapore. I know it's very unusual. We normally don't do this, but let's just pray for Singapore. We want to pray for our leaders, especially for our government, that God will continue to appoint good leaders, God-fearing leaders, you know, for the welfare of our people. Secondly, we want to pray for family units. We have many broken families, and there are also Christian broken families. We want to pray for family units. The parents, single mothers, single parents, the children, and so on. And lastly, we want to pray for the young people. Most of you are here. You are young, or young at heart. That you will not take your faith for granted. That you will cherish it. And you will burn for God brilliantly. That is my prayer. That's the prayer for 11:30. That this generation will rise up and take the church for God's glory. So find a partner. If you're not used to praying with someone, you can pray on your own. Just pray for three things, or you can just choose one thing. I'm going to ask the musician to just play some light music, and then we're going to sing our closing song. Yeah, just some music to just set the right attitude for God. Just find a partner. Pray for Singapore. Some of you have been visitors here. If you're a foreigner, we welcome you. Pray for us. So I just give a few minutes, then we will sing our closing prayer, our closing song.